Hello, Kumar.
Hi, John.
It's lovely to have you in the hot seat tonight.
Nice to be here.
It's good to see you. Kumar, you've got a really interesting story about your life, and there's lots of things that I'm sure we're going to enjoy chatting about in this time. Tell me a little bit about the Kumar, the childhood Kumar, and what life was like for you as a child in Sri Lanka.
To tell the full story, John, it'll take half a day or something like that. But to be in brief, I was born into a family. I had two sisters. I was the youngest, so I had everything in the family. But we were not a very rich family as such. We were below average family, I would say. My father worked hard. My mother fell ill when I was young. I mean, she had TB, and my mother was hospitalized for a very long time. Father was looking after us. My older sister was looking after me as well. So the life was going on like that. My father was struggling a lot. He was doing a lot of businesses, but he lost all his businesses and so on.
Sounds a very tough time.
Yeah. But in the end, I mean, I had an opening with God's grace to come out of Sri Lanka, where I did my A-levels there because of the standardization and the government regulations and so on. I couldn't do my studies there. I was in Sri Lanka giving tuitions for O-level and A-level students for a number of years, say about 4 to 5 years. Mm-hmm. And then I came over to Germany in 1974. I was in Germany for about 11 months, and then I came over to UK. Mm-hmm. I did my studies here after that. I did my civil engineering. I qualified as a civil engineer, and then the life went on like that.
And did you work in this country then as a civil engineer?
Yes, I have worked several years, and then finally I ended up at the London Borough of Hounslow for about 12 years.
Right.
Yeah, and then I took early retirement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good. So somewhere in this process, Raji came on the scene. How did you and Raji meet?
That was, before I left Sri Lanka itself, that I had my regular conversation with the Lord. He said that everything is prepared for you. You go there, I will be with you. So it was John chapter 14. Mm-hmm. There is a passage that says, everything is prepared for you. You go ahead. Mm-hmm. So that was the passage I left when I asked the God for help. God, help me. This is a proposal which has come. Then I opened the Bible and I read it. And this was the blessing he gave me. Mm-hmm. So from that day onwards, in my life, everything has been his guidance. He has been with me right throughout.
You mentioned your regular time with God. What does that look like, if you don't mind me asking? Because obviously it's private and special and between you and God, but how does that show itself?
Yeah, it is regular. I met a friend of mine who took me to a Youth for Christ meeting. My mother was a Hindu. My father was a Christian. But we were all church-going, I was never kind of interested in church work and all that. I mean, even though we went to church. At this meeting, I gave up myself to the Lord, and from that day onwards, he has been with me. Mm-hmm. So the 14th day I was reading the Bible, I started reading John. So that is the 14th day, and that was the blessing I had on that day.
Right.
When I asked him the question, God, what are you going to do with me?
Yeah, that's really amazing, because for a lot of people, prayer is a very hard thing, and I know many people find it quite frightening and quite worrying. But it sounds to me like this is just part of your everyday life and part of who you are.
Yes. I think when I wake up in the morning, I do my regular exercises and everything, and then as I come down the stairs, I say, okay, Lord, now come with me. I just take his hand and put his hand under my armpit, walk down the stairs and start the day.
What a wonderful image. His hand under my arm.
Yes.
I love that.
Yeah. So I tell him to walk me the day, and he guides me.
Fantastic. Kumar, you say you took early retirement, but you've done anything but retire. You've been really busy since. You went and spent, I can't remember how long it was, but I know you were out for quite some time in Sri Lanka in a college and things fairly recently.
I was in Sri Lanka for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
I was negotiating this charity work with a church in Sri Lanka. And I was feeling that I was going to get this, so I applied for early retirement and I got it.
Mm-hmm.
So I went there for 3 years, being a principal of a skills training center,
right,
where I had the opportunity to work with vulnerable children, in the sense that I go into villages, tell them about the courses we run, bring them over and give them trainings and start-up trainings, like for them, like put them in a garage or put them in places where they can get some training and so on. And then after 6 months, most probably they will get with the hope that they will get employed there and find employment and so
what
on.
What a great thing to do. And was that quite successful?
Yes, it was very successful.
As a model for training?
Yeah, mostly whoever we put them on industrial training, they get they got absorbed in there and they were able to find a living and so on. So
great. You were telling me earlier about your charity. What's it called again?
The charity is it's a UK registered charity known as Make a Difference Sri Lanka.
Right.
For short, we call it MDSL.
Okay. And what does that involve then?
The funds are collected here in UK and supported families and the youngsters to start up something like starting up a small shop or tiffin shop, grocery shops. Small industries like making choir and out of choir making paw pieces and all that, strings and all that. So they managed to make a living out of it. And so a lot of projects I have done. We started in year 2011. And we have been at it for nearly 9 years now. At it 9 years. Yeah,
making a difference to people's lives.
Yes, and I mean, there's a latest project which I have yet to start. I'm still negotiating with another church to start up the project with their people, young group, youth group, and. The women's group and so on, so that we can find employment for them and so.
I guess that employment brings empowerment and brings freedom for people.
Exactly.
Doesn't it?
I mean, even though I don't kind of the people, a lot of people who does feeding people and teaching people and all that, but this is kind of empowering them to do their own things and so on. So this, I mean, I'm very pleased with that charity work I'm doing.
That sounds really good, and I think what it says to me is that actually, if we can do something for other people to help them do it for themselves, that is the most sustainable model of
helping
to break
the
cycle of poverty.
That's right. Yeah. So exactly the same model we are trying to apply on the current project. We're going to start something somewhere, and then with that income generation, we are going to start another one.
Right.
That's the model, keeping this project as the model and starting other projects and so on. So that is the plan for the next project.
Fantastic. Good, fantastic. Kumar, do you have a favorite Bible verse, one that's kind of lived with you all the years, or do you have a particular passage that's a favorite to you?
Yeah, I think the time with God is kind of meditation.
Mm-hmm.
So I always say a mat, and there's two things to do.
Mm-hmm.
So to do is 22. Mat is Matthew. So yes. Matthew 22, and go deep, 3 mm-hmm. feet, which means 36 verse 36
right.
To 40.
Right.
So that is what I live by. I mean, there is right. two important things which is given there for us.
Yeah.
The first one, of course, is very personal, how your relationship with the God. And the second one is, of course, how you want to do things with everybody.
Mm.
So that is what I go by. Mm. So it's
fantastic.
Matthew, Matt. Yeah. 22
to do.
And then 3 feet down, deep, dig 3 feet down, 36 inches.
Good. Well, hopefully,
verse 36 to 40.
Yeah. We'll be able to test people later to see if they've all worked that out and remembered it. That's a very good one. Good to do. What do you say? I mean, you've seen the situation in Sri Lanka, you've seen the situation in this country. We're really hopeful that we're going to be moving into a time when we get out of this horrible lockdown and we can see families, you can see more of your lovely granddaughter and your family can all come and see you and so on. What are your particular hopes for the future?
I think the main hope now is to get back to normality, isn't it?
Yeah,
I think because we have relatives in Sri Lanka, India, Canada, Australia and places and all that. We haven't been visiting anybody at all for the past 2 years. So I think if that gets relaxed, then I think we must get back to normality. And as long as we all adhere to the rules and regulations and so on, I think that is what will help us to get back to normal.
Yeah, that's good. And we've obviously we're delighted that both you and Raji have joined us from Brentford after Brentford sadly closed. You were a member at Brentford for many years, weren't you? And lots of family events tied in with there as well. Do you want to say a bit about your time at Brentford?
Brentford, I mean, we got married in 1980. I think Reverend Jacob was here at that time, and we moved to Ealing. Our first house was in Ealing, so it was easier for us to go to Brentford Church, and since then we have moved to Brentford Church. We had a couple of members living very much closer to us. Chanters and Morrises lived down the same area.
Yeah.
So we were very quite content with the church. We were very happy. Well, as every other church is facing, we had a problem of the membership and so on. But unfortunately, I mean, I feel that because I had to go, I was in Sri Lanka 3 years. When I came back, then the first thing I had to attend to or we were looking at was closing the church and so on. So in my mind, I was just thinking, I mean, is that why? I mean, I was away 3 weeks, 3 years. Is that what has caused the closure of the church? I mean, that was in my mind. But things have to be like that, then of course cannot help it.
That's
and
right.
It had to go that way. Maybe it is all for a good. I always taught my students three things. One of them is God's next is the best. So whatever happens next is his blessings, and that is the best for you.
Yeah.
So I thought, okay, let me put everything behind and move forward with what we had to do now. So
God's next is the best.
Best,
like
yes.
That. Like that. So I've got two things so far that are really holding in my head. One about walking down the stairs with God and under my armpits.
Yes.
I think I'll remember that, especially as I've got fairly narrow stairways. It might be quite safe. And the next is the best. I love that. Do you have a favourite hymn?
Not a favorite hymn as such. I'm not a. I like music. I enjoy all the hymns and so on. But nothing
not one in
favorite.
Particular.
Not in
one in particular.
Yeah.
No, I've got one more question for you. One more question, and it's. I'm asking everybody this question. What does the resurrection mean to you?
Well, that's going to be a difficult question for me, but. Resurrection is, it is like the triune God, we say. I mean, for me, the resurrection is God is there, Jesus came here, so the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is who is with us most of the time. So the resurrection has given us that opportunity for us to be with the Holy Spirit most of the time. Wherever we wander, we are with him. I mean, just tap into him or think about him and he's there for you. So that is...
And walk down the stairs with him under your arm. That gives us that chance as well.
Yes.
That's absolutely fantastic. Well, Kumar, thank you very much for your time. And I'm sure people will enjoy hearing your story. As you say, we could probably spend days on it.
Yeah, if anybody wants to know about my charity, please get in touch with me.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm willing to help anybody who wants to start up similar things in their homelands and so on. So, I mean, you can talk to me. I have the blueprint for the next project. I can talk to them.
And how can we help you as a church? What could we do to support your charity? Is it a fundraising thing or something like that would be good?
Can do. I mean, I can talk to you about the project in detail. And then if you feel that you could help in any way, I mean, financially, I'm looking for a lot of funds to start up the next project. So if anybody wants to contribute, they can do that. It's all through the registered charity. We can discuss the details. So.
Sounds like a conversation we need to have to follow this up. But thank you very much indeed for your time.
Thank you.
And for your honesty and your openness with us. Thank you.
Thank you very much, John. Thanks for having me here.